Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and bring it to the streets. Pastor Grimaldi at Gmail, give me a shout out. We are coming right around the bend with our fourth season. I got my two brothers with me, my co-host Pastor Michael Teddy and my co-host Ashuk. I'm not even going to try, Ashuk, to try to say the name. But we know Ashuk is back with us and we love Mr. Ashuk. And we were just talking about what the heck we're going to talk about today. But we'll figure something out as we go along, right? But we are going to talk about you know, how to open up the Bible and, you know, how to read it. And, you know, do you just read it? Should we look at the background, look at some of the genre and things like that? So we'll be a little all over the map, but that's okay. Love you guys. Thank you for listening to us. I'm going to give you Pastor Michael for a minute and Ashuk just to, you know, say hello and what they've been doing and how the church is doing there in India. And then we'll get right into the topic of, you know, Pastor Michael, Gordon Fee wrote a book. In fact, Gordon Fee just passed away. I think he was like 98 years old, Ashuk, right? And he wrote a book called, him and Douglas Stewart, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. Very, very helpful book. I'm sure you, I see my two brothers smiling, right? I mean, that's a classic book on, you know, what we're going to talk about, talking about genre and things like that. And then we'll get to Ashuk's favorite topic of typology. But Pastor Michael, go ahead. Let everybody know what's happening, and then we'll give it to Ashuk.
Yeah, I got myself introduced to Gordon Fee and all of these strong old men of God. And for me, they've always been old. So when you tell me, you know, they're 90 something, I'm like, they're not 150, because I keep thinking they're, you know, they'd live forever. But yeah, I think we have our copies of How to Read the Bible for What It's Worth. I think we got it after we did a podcast once. But it's just, yeah, it's an absolute joy to be here again. And so here's me and Ashuk from India saying hi to everybody. Yeah, we just love doing these podcasts. We love talking about the Bible. We love talking about Jesus. God has been good to us. We're doing well as a church. We've reached a point where our church has grown in number to a point where our current space is not fitting us. And so people are, you know, we're like squeezing in. And so we're hoping we keep growing like that and God will keep bringing more people. And just, yeah, it's been a joy. So God's been good to us and we give him all the praise.
Ashuk, say hello to your fans out here in America, buddy.
Hello. So good to be back. So good to be here. And one could say this is four seasons of Pastor Dom trying to pronounce my name.
Yeah, and let him do it.
Yeah, over the seasons, it's gotten better and better. And maybe 10 seasons in, you would finally nail my name.
Bohana Kamur. No good.
Come on.
Come on, not too bad, Pastor Michael, right?
Yeah,
not too bad.
So here's my deal. I want to, you know, even thinking about the background of reading the Bible for all it's worth. So I'm going to come into your office, Ashuk or Pastor Michael, and I'm going to come in and say, okay, I want to read the Epistle to Rome, to the Romans. Now, obviously, I can just read the Epistle to the Romans, but what are some of the things I can do before I read the Epistle to the Romans? You might tell me, you know, have a good commentary or something like that. But so, Pastor Michael, I come into your office. I'm a layman. I mean, I can read well. I love the Lord. I want to understand the book of Romans. Ashuk, think about, I want to understand it exegetically. I want to understand what the original audience would be hearing So what are some of the things, Pastor Michael, that would help me in doing that, where there are some things in there that are more cultural? Does that make sense? So help me, Pastor Michael. I'm in your office. I want to read Romans. You're not going to tell me to take a course in Greek. I mean, that would be helpful, but I just want to know my best way to say understand Romans or any New Testament epistle.
Yeah, I think I would be courageous enough to actually ask them to go read it first. My instinctive reaction would be not to make people feel that there needs to be a preparation before the reading of the text.
Amen.
As a default, because, I mean, I believe that the Bible is written in such a way that man can go and read it and be edified by it. And we know that the Spirit of God is faithful to the one who comes to this text. I mean, as I was reading, John Bunyan was talking about prayer, and Bunyan talks about why prayer needs to be sincere, that everything that the Christian does has to come out of sincerity. So if a genuine believer in Christ who really sincerely wants to know what the Bible says, then I have all the courage in the world to tell them to actually, you know, just go sit with the Bible and read it. The Spirit of God will be present and will equip you through the text. So I think the first thing that I would encourage them to do is actually read more than prepare anything for the reading.
Amen.
I would look for a good translation that will be helpful for them to understand. So speaking from an Indian context, a lot of people who pick up an English Bible may not be so well versed in English. They may not understand a lot of the words. So we'd probably look for a more simpler translation than the most accurate, if you want to use those words, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, I might be using the NASB in my sermons and all that, but I might actually ask someone to get the NIV or the ESV, depending on, you know, something that would help them. So one of the go-to translations I give is probably the NIV, which is simple for a lot of people here contextually to understand the way it's written. And then I think I would encourage them to go read the Bible and then come back with questions. So I'd follow up. I'd probably say, come back next week. Let's sit down and talk about what you read and what you found difficult. And I think that allows for me more room to discuss on, here's why this portion of the text is like this, or here's how you should approach this text. So I love that kind of, hands-on approach. And so at that point, so if the question is, okay, if somebody's done that reading and they're coming back and they're saying, okay, Romans is difficult, how do I really understand what Paul's trying to say? I think I would always start with the basic principles of interpretation. Like I would tell them to go back to who's writing the book and to whom is it being written as the very basic underline of, okay, this is what's being said. And so you have to read it within its context. You know, don't jump to different chapters. Don't skip chapters. You want to understand what this author is trying to tell this people, which is very important because in our culture, which is extremely influenced by televangelism and prosperity gospel and a very loose method of interpretation, people often believe that the way to interpret the Bible is to read it and take whatever they feel from it and go with it. But that's not the way you interpret the text. The way you interpret the text is to understand that the author who wrote it had an intention for the audience he wrote it for. And we are all secondary beneficiaries. You know, this was not written primarily straight to us, but God has inspired that text to be applicable for all of us, that we can read it down through the generations. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I got something for Ashok, and that's well said. And another thing I always say, we only got one side of the letter, right? We only got the,
right.
We don't have the other side. So Ashok, okay. This is, I mean, Pastor Michael, well said. I mean, read the Bible, ask questions. Okay, Ashok, I'm going to ask you a question. I come and I'm reading the Bible and it tells me that if I have enough faith, that it says that I can move a mountain. Well, I'm going to turn around and, you know, turn around and say, okay, I want to move this mountain. And when I do that, the mountain don't move. So is that because I have lack of faith? Am I reading the Bible wrongly? Do I understand the background? Or so how do I interpret, or how would I say, you know, what does Jesus mean by if you would pray and have enough faith, you can move this mountain into a sea?
Yeah, so that's something that had put me in trouble during my early days of conversion, because this is hard for me. I thought, you know, that's what Jesus expects me to do. He wants me to move mountains, and why am I not able to move mountains? And maybe it has something to do with the degree of my faith. So again, we are talking about literary genres, and one of the things that is peculiar about the way Jesus Christ talks throughout the New Testament and the Gospels is that he uses something called hyperbole.
Hyperbole, is that right? Is that hyperbole? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Yes. So it would be basically a literary device where we would say something that is highly escalated to bring out a point. So, for example, from the witness of the scripture and the way even Paul tells us how our body is a temple of Holy Spirit and everything, we know our bodies are sacred, right? That the Christians don't have a divide between the material and the spiritual anymore. Christ has a body, and we would have a body post-resurrection, etc. So we know that. But when Jesus says something like, gouge out your right eye or cut off your right arm, so that it is better for you to enter the kingdom without them rather than your whole body being burned in hell. When there are such passages, or for a rich man it is as difficult as for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Well, it's not as if rich people do not get saved either. So Christ uses this literary device called hyperbole. And hyperbole is supposed to, well, escalate something, get one point to an extreme, to convey the degree of importance or, you know, the degree of importance of what is being said. But it doesn't have to be literal in that sense. And like Pastor Mike was mentioning earlier, that it is important to see, sometimes I think the whole subject of hermeneutics being the subject of interpretation the biblical text, is in a way the whole topic and the whole subject is about asking the reader to not be stupid. So if you were to get a book from a letter from your mom, or if you were to find out a letter written from one person to another person, how would you look at it? There's a lot of commonsensical elements that go into it. To some degree, it is asking the reader to apply those same rules and laws that you apply to any other letter, to the letter that you would see written to Romans. And the reason for that is because the way God has given revelation is through something called verbal plenary. And the whole concept of verbal plenary is that while the writers were writing, they were writing normally. Nothing magical was happening, in the sense there was no angel right next to them telling them what to write when they were writing the New Testament epistles and the Acts and epistles and everything. They were writing as though they were writing to the other people. But God made it so that in His sovereignty, when we read this, we are also benefited by it, because we face the same kinds of issues. And we have the common enemy, and we are running the same race that our forefathers were running, etc. So,
and that's important. And I wanted to so we're talking about. I wanted to ask Pastor Michael on this, and that's well said. In other words, we have to understand genre. Obviously, we know that you know, the mountain not being moved and verbal plenary. Those things are really, really important. It goes back to my seminary days, right? But Pastor Michael, so if you don't understand the context, there's no power in the text, right, Pastor Michael? I mean, so The Bible says for the Word of God to be living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. So if we're not reading the text contextually correct, if we're reading it in wrongly and not contextually, tell me the error that would cause, Pastor Michael, when we're reading it not contextually and not having a proper understanding of what it's saying, so the text can actually be living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword in our lives.
Yeah, I think the danger is twofold. One is less dangerous, which is your context. If you get the message wrong contextually, you could get less than what it actually says, which means you are less benefited than what the text actually intends for you. But the more dangerous one is that you could completely misinterpret the text. And so the danger is heresy. The danger is going steps away from what the text is intentionally trying to tell us what to do. So, I mean, going back to what Ashok was saying, if we read a letter today, a contemporary letter that was written, and, you know, we come across this letter, we read it, and inside that letter, we hear, you know, phrases used like, I ended up shooting myself on my foot. You know, we're not immediately going to be like somebody actually shot them on the foot. We know it's a figure of speech, right? We are immediately able to correlate because that's a colloquial language that we use today. And so we know, okay, that's not meant to be taken literally. I think what people forget is that ultimately God chose to preserve his truth through a literary means, which is through the written word. This is language. This is a literary book, which means that the way you read the book matters. The way you understand literature matters, because this is literature at the end of the day. And when we talk about Bible genres, that's what we're saying, because when you go to Proverbs, that's what we would call wisdom literature. We could even go to the New Testament James and call it wisdom literature, right? But you would go to the letters written by the apostles to the churches, and we would call them epistles, because there's a... And then you would go to the synoptic gospels, the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then you have the Gospel of John. And then you have the apocalyptic literature, the book of Revelation. So what you're looking at, God in his divine wisdom was pleased to use literature as the means of preserving his truth. And so when we approach the Bible, Christians love to put away with the literature aspect of it and like to embrace a sense of mystic, supernatural, feeling based approach to understanding the whole of the text, and which is frankly not the way it was intended. And I would also say this, you're absolutely right in saying that not having the context is a problem. It's dangerous, because that's precisely what Jesus accuses the Pharisees of. Because if you look at the number of times in the New Testament, Jesus keeps repeating the phrase, "Have you not read? Have you not heard? Have you not seen?" If you look at the number of times that's been repeated and said again and again and again, it tells us that Jesus expected the book to be read. He expected the book to be preached. He expected the book to be heard. And he expected his hearers to understand it well within its right context.
And so here's something, because we're probably going to run out of time on this segment. But I do want to have Ashok talk about typology, probably on the other side in the next broadcast. But I do want to say this, and I want to get Ashok's just a couple of minutes synopsis on this. When you look at some of these gospels, let's just say we read in the synoptic gospels, let's use Matthew, Mark, and Luke just for now, just put John on the side, and you see these same incident, but Matthew looks at it differently. It's like if we turn around and everybody goes to a fire. Let's just say the building's on fire, right? It's the same fire, the same building, but Pastor Michael he's more interested in the police, and he'll look at it from a matter of how the police addressed it. Ashok might be thinking that he's a more involved in firemen, so he'll look at it. Now, it's the same incident, but it's coming from different angles because, like Ashok said, the author is, God doesn't take away who the author is themselves, but it's looking at things from, Ashok, you understand? It's like looking at it from just different angles, but it's the same fire. And I think we see that a lot in the Bible when people say, well, why is Luke saying this and Matthew saying this? Because people, God did not take that away from the people writing the text. And they write it from sometimes their own, what's important to them at that particular time. Ashok, just reiterate that for a few minutes and then we'll get you back on the other side to do the on typology, but does that make sense? And you see that a lot in the Gospels, that it's the same incident, but people just come at it from different angles. Like in other words, you know, in some things, you know, they'll say that they sat down by the green grass. In other words, showing that it was this was summer, and that was important to that writer to mention that. So just quickly on that before we hang up, Ashok.
Yeah, that is true. The example that you gave was very useful as well, that the building can catch fire, won't put right from the angle, can take a point of view of how the police officers did anything there. Another person could write from the point of view of the fireman. I think I can't quite remember the name of this person, but he's a police officer, and then he came to faith. And he was giving this testimony as to one of the things that convinced him of the authenticity of the Bible is that the Matthew, Mark, Luke, all the synoptic gospels were slightly different the way they were written. And the reason that he gives is because for years and years he's used to questioning criminals or even the witnesses concerning cases. And what he has seen is when three people or four people come and address the same issue or give their eyewitness account of the same incidents, they always bring to it their own personal experience. They always bring to it their own context. They always bring to it their own biases. So that is how it works naturally. And the very fact that three Gospels, Synoptic Gospels, have their own differences is one of the ways to show its authenticity. It is a mark of its authenticity, because if it was the same, it's highly likely something was tampered with or somebody tried to make it look.
It would have been fabricated.
Fabricated, but this proves authenticity and how organic it is in the way that people bring things on the table. But yeah, everything else, the same thing that you said, Pastor. I and Mike could go for a wedding. And I, being somebody who really loves music, might come back and say, oh, it was a blast, we really enjoyed everything. But Mike, somebody who loves food a lot, and the food was really bad, assuming, and I might not even have noticed the food was bad because I was so involved in the music. So I would come back and say it was quite the party, it was really good, we really enjoyed while we were there. And Mike might come back and say, it was a terrible party. Oh, my goodness, I couldn't keep the food in my mouth while you were talking about the same party. So, so that's my two cents on.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close this section out, and we're going to do two things. And we're going to, as we try to close our season out here, we're going to talk about, on the other side, we'll talk about typology. And then I want to kind of end up and have Pastor Michael talk to us about pastoral ministry. And I think sometimes the people, and it'd be great to have Ashok too, because I think sometimes people in the pews don't understand really what a pastor may be going through and what his, just something from, say, a pastor's view to some congregants who may not know. Is that okay, Pastor Michael? So we'll deal with typology on the other side, and then we'll go into right pastoral ministry. Is that okay, guys?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Is that cool?
Awesome. Yes. I love it.
Pastor Dominic Romaldi here with Street Talk Theology. We take theology and we take it to the streets. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Romaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.